now over kingdom and from the Lord, the time is coming, and even now is arrived, and the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For such people, the Father seeks to be his
worshipers. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth.
Come we that love the Lord. You are here. I want to ask you a question. Why are you here? Are you? That's good, because I want you to know something. If there are people that are here because they've been invited to come here. And I'm excited about those people that are here with us today, that were invited to be here, and they have come to be with us. I'm excited about that. I also know that there are people that are here today because they grew up knowing that on Sundays, what do? You go to church. Okay? You go to church. That was drilled into my head as a child growing up. My brother is here with us today, my brother and his wife, they're over yonder. And I'm glad they're here with us today, and my brother can attest to that we kind of had that drilled in our head, did we not? And we had it beat in our head oftentimes. My father, when he wanted us to get out of bed, he always played a little trick on me to get me out of bed. And what he used to do, he would go out and he'd start singing. He'd sing, "There's a squirrel in the bird bath this morning." Y'all ever heard that one? Well, I heard it almost every day. And Dad would always say, "Oh, there's a squirrel out there in the bird bath. You need to come see that squirrel." And I'd get up and I'd go and look. And there was never a squirrel in the bird bath. Except one day there really was a squirrel in the bird bath. And he said, "See, I told you, I've been telling you all along there's been squirrel in the bird bath." And so for a while I would get up immediately and go look to see if there was a squirrel in the bird bath. But Dad and Mom drilled it into us that on Sunday mornings we get up and we go to church. Now, when you get older, you should get to the point that you don't go to church, but you go to worship. And I want you to know that there's a difference. There's a major difference between coming to church and coming to worship. Major difference. It has to do with attitude. I've been accused of having attitude from time to time.
Woo!
I'd only get mad if that wasn't true, but that is very true. Yes, I've been accused of that from time to time. But I want you to know that the difference between coming to church and coming to worship is right here. Right here. Where is your heart? Where is your heart? Why are you here? Are you here because you have to? Or are you here because you want to? Are you here because you think it's an obligation? Or are you here because of what God did for you through His Son, Jesus Christ? There is a huge difference. And it all comes from right here. All of it. Where is your heart? Where is your heart? What is it? It's right here. He was right here. Where is your heart? Your heart dictates what it's all about. And understand this too, that your heart dictates whether you're a Christian or not. Are you a person after God's own heart? Do you desire to do what God wants you to do? Do you seek His will, not your will? As Jesus said in the garden, let your will be done, not my will. Folks, it took me a while to figure this out. It's not about me. It's about God. It's about God. And that's where our attitude should be. That's where our heart should be. Because He loved you so much that He gave His Son up to die for you. Therefore, when we come together as Christian people, we come together not as an obligation. We come together not because we've been taught to do it all of our lives. We come together to give praise and glory to God because He is worthy. Praise, glory to God. Now, I want to look at something. Because I've been asked by several people about what constitutes a worship service versus what constitutes just coming together. And I want to take a look at that. I want to start off with what we like to call the five acts of worship. The five acts of worship. And I'm going to throw a couple of things in, Rendell. Be ready. I'm going to throw a couple of things in there. Rendell's one of those people that have asked me some questions. I'm going to throw a couple of things in there that you probably never thought of before. I hope you haven't. Because they were actually new to me, too. But I want you to look at it and understand it. What worship is. Okay? All right. Let's start with number one. Singing. Singing. How many of you sing? Yeah. How many of you make a joyful noise? Yeah. And some of you say, oh, I just make a noise. Yeah. I understand that. How many of you sing? Folks, sing. I told you this story about this elderly lady. She's no longer with us anymore because she was elderly when I was in my 20s. And so she's no longer with us anymore. But she sat on the front row right there, and I used to lead the song service. And she'd sit right there on the front row. And you've heard the terminology, you can't carry a tune in a bucket. She never did. She never hit a note except by accident. Okay? And when you're trying to lead songs, with her sitting about 5 feet from you, it makes it difficult for you to hit a note. But I want you to understand something. She would sing with all her heart. And she had cocked that head sideways and just sing with everything that she's got. And I want you to know that everything that came out of her mouth was beautiful to God. What a fine lady she was. Fine lady. She was there every time the doors opened. She was with us. And she sang with everything she could sing. And let me tell you something. It didn't matter that she couldn't carry a tune, because in God's eyes, in God's ears, it was wonderful to Him. So when you sing, brothers and sisters, sing out. We don't care if you can hit a note. We want you to sing. God wants you to sing, because it is a beautiful noise to Him. But understand this also. When we talk about singing, that does not mean, by any stretch of the imagination, that you are listening to a choir sing for you. Because you know what? Worship is an individual thing. I can't sit and listen to a choir sing and say, man, I had a great worship today. No, you didn't. You didn't worship at all. You know why? Because you didn't sing. You listened to the choir sing. There's no difference than if you went to a concert somewhere and listened to somebody else sing. You can't say, man, I sang well, because you didn't sing. You can't say, well, I sang praises to God, because you didn't sing. Folks, it's you. You are the one that worships. We can't do it for you. I can't do it for you. No one in this congregation can do it for you. You have to do it. And singing, folks, is a requirement. It is the only requirement that requires every person in the congregation to do it. There is no such requirement for everyone to be preachers. There is no such requirement for everybody to be a teacher. There is no such requirement for everybody to be a song leader, Paul. There is no such requirement like that, but there is the requirement that everybody sing. Everybody. So if they're singing for you, then you are not getting the benefit of worshiping God. And this lady's name was Bertha Loudermilk. I'll never forget her. She worshiped God with all her heart. Folks, singing is a requirement. That's the first part of worship to God. Okay? Second part, look at this one. Prayer. I've told you this before about prayer, and I really mean this. I don't think we totally understand the power of prayer. We don't understand how powerful it is. You are calling upon the Creator of the universe, the one who can do all things. The one who can overcome anything here on this earth that you may go up against. The power of prayer is such that anything you could ask for, any need that you could ever want, can be given to you. The power of prayer. God is that power. And folks, in order to worship, our worship services must include prayer. They must. And folks, for anyone who doesn't pray, anyone who doesn't pray is missing out on the most powerful thing that you can do in your life. To pray to God. To ask for help in time of need. Because we have an advocate that has been tempted in every way that we have been tempted, yet he was without sin, and therefore we have a high priest that knows our every single need. In order for us to have a worship service, prayer must be included. I heard a story not too long ago. A person came and told me that at their church, they don't pray. I was taken back. I said, are you serious? You don't pray? They said, no, we don't pray. We don't have time to pray. I said, I believe I'd make some time. Prayer is essential. And that's why we are taught to pray without. Always have a prayerful heart. Always have a prayerful mind. Because as we walk with God, He guides us, He directs us, He protects us, He brings us home to Him. Pray without ceasing. Third, some of you wish this would go away. I ain't going. I want you to know that part of worshiping God is learning about God. Did you ever look at it in that regard? Part of worshiping God is learning about God. How can we be a disciple of Christ? By the way, that means to be a follower of Christ. How can we follow Christ if we don't know about Christ? If we don't know what He did? If we don't know what His goal was in life, and that was to do God's will? If we don't know these things, then how is it that we're supposed to do them? Folks, teaching and preaching is part of the worship service. I've heard people say, all we need to do in our worship service is just sing. If we just sing, we're great. Well, singing is great. I'm not going to denounce singing. Singing is great. Singing should be done. But so should preaching. So should teaching. These things we need to know. These things we need to understand. And if we don't know them, if we don't understand them, then how in the world are we going to follow God? We can't. So it's important. Now, I'm going to tell you this, that sometimes I go a little wrong. Surprise, surprise. I don't care. It doesn't upset me a bit to go wrong. But be thankful. I'm not like Paul, who preached until midnight, and then he raised a boy from the dead and preached on until morning. I'm not going to do that to you. I might keep you till 10:30, though, at night. But I'm not going to preach till midnight. Realize, preaching and teaching is part of it. Preaching and teaching is part of it. Now look at this one. The Lord's Supper is part of it. Now, we have, in the Scripture, we have two ways of knowing what we should do dealing with our worship service and dealing with our lives. Number one way is by direct command. We are commanded to do these things in this manner. The other way is by example. And I want you to know that by example, in the New Testament, chapter 20, verse 7, in the book of Acts, by example, in the New Testament, they came together on what day of the week? First day of the week. To do what? Break bread. That doesn't mean they came together to eat lunch. That's not what that means. And any time that you see that terminology, break bread, in the New Testament, they're talking about what Jesus did the night he was betrayed. He broke bread. He established the Lord's Supper. And as Paul teaches us, we do this every time we do it in remembrance of him. So what did they do? They came together and they broke bread. They did it to remember the sacrifice that Jesus gave for us. Folks, that is incredibly important that we remember that, that we are reminded of it. And too oftentimes, I see churches out there in the world that don't do this on the first day of the week. They do it maybe once a quarter or twice a year. And I've quoted my brother before in saying this, that that's them coming together to pay their heaven insurance. They come together twice a year, at Easter and Christmas. No. No. They came together weekly. Why? Because they should remember always. Always. Remember always what Jesus did for us. Remember always what God did for us by sending His Son. This is part of our worship. This is part of why we come together. In order to worship the fact that we have salvation through faith, through the blood of Jesus Christ. That's where it comes from. It doesn't come from anywhere else. No one comes unto the Father except through Christ Jesus. That's it. And so we need to remember that, and we need to be reminded of it, and we need to be reminded of it every day. Every day to be reminded. They came together on the first day of the week. Why the first day of the week? It was because that was the day that Jesus rose from the grave. They didn't come together on the Sabbath, which is Saturday. They came together on the first day to remember throughout the week. And then also look at this one. We don't talk about this very much. One of the reasons I don't talk about it very much is because we have an incredibly great giving family right here. Y'all are great. Y'all are wonderful. Y'all are doing what we need to do. And understand this, we have expenses that we have to take care of. We have utility bills. We have preachers to pay. Janitors to pay. We have expenses. All of us have expenses. But we also have members that we need to take care of and help. And we do that. And y'all are a great giving bunch of people. All you have to do is look over here at our board. Don't look at that last Sunday. That didn't work right. Most Sundays, we far exceed our budget. So I don't talk about it very much. You know why I don't talk about it very much? Is because that's not a problem with this group, because you love each other so much, you love this congregation so much, you love God so much, that I don't have to spend any time talking about this, because I already know where your heart is. And I'm so grateful for that. Now, two of those five were done only on Sundays. Now, I want you to realize the Lord's Supper and the collection for the saints were only done on the first day of the week. Paul required the church at Corinth to give on the first day of the week so that they could take those funds and go and help the largest congregation, which was in Jerusalem. Now, that's kind of interesting. A smaller congregation helping a larger congregation. That usually doesn't work that way, but that's the way it was then. The church at Jerusalem needed help. So what did they do? They collected and they brought it to the church in Jerusalem. And so what they did was, they did it on the first day of the week. Now, this, does this mean, I put it up here, does this mean that we can only do it on the first day of the week? No, it does not. No, it does not. Now realize the command dealing with collection was for the first day of the week. But that doesn't mean if Winfred has a car accident and needs some help to pay for his medical bills, that we can't come together as a church on a Tuesday night or a Thursday night or a Friday night or whenever, come together as a church and have a collection just for his medical bills. And the reason why I bring that up is because I've seen that happen. When we went to West Ark Church of Christ back 100 years ago, when we were going to church over there, there was an individual who had a car accident. He didn't have any insurance. He needed $10,000 to pay for his medical expenses. They asked the congregation. $12,000 later, they had all they needed. Yes. And this congregation would do exactly the same thing. Exactly the same thing. Also realize this, that when we talk about the Lord's Supper, the Lord's Supper was, by example, done on the first day of the week. But it was also done daily at the first church in Acts chapter 2. So it could be done other times as well. It could be done other times as well. But realize we come together on the first day of the week primarily for that purpose. So I'm not saying don't get rid of the first day of the week. But if we need to do it at another time, it would be all right. But focus our attention on the first day of the week in which we come together for that purpose. Okay? Hope I made that clear. Special collections for individuals or unexpected costs are often done at other times during the week, not just the first day of the week. And in Acts chapter 2, verse 46, realize they broke bread daily. Now, I'm going to give you a little history behind that because they broke bread daily because they were teaching people about what it was to break bread. These were brand new Christians. Brand new. And they were going to go off back to their homes and they were going to take what they had learned back to their homes. So they were using that to teach them daily. But as people went off back to their homes, as they went back to their lives, as they went back to their jobs, they could only come together once a week, and they came together the first day of the week for that purpose. That's the history behind it. But now that doesn't mean that we can't do it another time as well. And I've seen it done at other times. But it also means this. Do not forsake doing it the first day of the week. Do not forsake it. Okay? If one of these five acts is not present, here's a question for you. Does that mean that we're not worshiping? If one of these five acts is not present, does that mean that we are not having a worship service? Now, Sunday mornings, all five acts are present. Also, Sunday nights, by the way, all five acts are present. What about Wednesday nights? What about Tuesday nights? We come together on Tuesday nights, too. Wednesday nights and Tuesday nights, we are not having all five acts. Why? Because the two that are commanded to do on Sunday mornings, on the first day of the week, we don't do those. Does that mean that's not a worship service? Some of you are going, y'all don't know. I'm going to tell you. Okay? I'm going to tell you. All right. If one or more of the five acts of worship is not present, does that mean that that is not a worship service? Only the Lord's Supper and the collection for the saints is required on the first day of the week. Doesn't necessarily mean you can't have it other days, but it is required on the first day of the week. If we meet on other days during the week, and I want you to think about this because there is nowhere in the Bible that says that you can't meet every day of the week. Matter of fact, the first churches did meet every day of the week. They came together daily. So does that mean that only on Sundays they worshiped, the rest of the time they didn't? If we meet on other days of the week, like Wednesdays, like Tuesdays, by the way, Tuesday night this week, be there. And those two acts are not present, it can still count as worship as long as the other acts are present. Realize there's a difference between the requirement on Sunday mornings or Sundays and the requirements of worship. Worshiping comes from your heart. We don't have to take the Lord's Supper other times of the week and it not count for worship if we don't take of that. We don't have to have a collection every day of the week and not count for worship if we don't take that. Realize this also, that you can be driving down the street and you can be worshiping. One part of that, though, that I would caution you, don't try to open your Bible and read while you're driving down the street. It usually doesn't work well. Sing. Teach. Pray. This is worship. Singing, teaching, praying. And you can do that at any time during the week. You can do it at any day during the week. You can do it all week long, every day, and that's what I would encourage you to do. You can do these things every day. Realize, when we come together to worship God. That is our purpose in being here. It's not to check off, yes, I did it this Sunday. It's not to check off and say, okay, I've done my obligation, I'm good to go. That's not what it's for. We come here to worship God. And you can worship God every day, all day. Every day, all day. But I will warn you about something. When it comes to worship services. If you don't have the singing, if you don't have the preaching and teaching, if you don't have prayer, then it is not a worship service. It could be a Bible study. It could be something different, but it's not a worship service. But if you have those three in there, it is a worship service. Because you are worshiping God through prayer, through song, through teaching and preaching. You are worshiping God. It is part of a worship service. But realize, we are taught in Hebrews not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Why? Because we should always come together to worship God. Every day, all day, we should worship God. It is our calling. It is something that God is worthy of. And it is something that we come together to do. And folks, I'm going to say this one time today. Our internet is great, especially for those people who cannot be here. But folks, it's so much better if you're here. So much better. Come and be with us. Let us come together to worship God together. Let us be with one another. Let us edify each other in songs and praises and spiritual songs. Let us lift up our voices together in prayer. Let us learn of God's Word. And let us remember the great sacrifice that Jesus Christ gave for us so that we have a place with Him in eternity. Let's worship God together. I hope that this lesson helps you to understand what worship is. All five of those don't have to be present in order for you to worship. Three of them do. And that is prayer, that is teaching and preaching, that is singing. So let's come together and lift our voices to God and make that sweet melody in His ears. If you have a need this morning, a need to be baptized, or a need for our prayers, we ask you to come. All together we stand and sing.